is a viable term for that of Romans, I mean, reading chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Now, Reverend Scott, would you say this is where it's going to be for us? Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation. I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, since they are ignorant of the righteousness of God and attempt to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, since Moses writes about the righteousness that is from the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith speaks like this: do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will go down into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Merci. In chapter 9, we were looking at the role of Israel and how Israel has rejected God's offer, but God has not rejected them. And God, we looked at in verse 14 of chapter 9, what should we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. Paul asked that question when he talks about God chose Jacob over his brother Esau. He chose Isaac over his half-brother Ishmael. He chose Abraham from all the people in Ur of the Chaldees. God made a choice, and he works through different individuals as he chooses. Paul gives an example of Pharaoh. Moses told Pharaoh, God has raised you up for a purpose, so that he could show his power over all the nations of the world. Now, God put up with Pharaoh, knew that he was going to reject, and after the miracles, says Pharaoh hardened his heart. After he said he'll let the people go, he hardened his heart. Another miracle. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it says God hardened his heart. Pharaoh had a chance, but he chose not to allow God's people to go from captivity in Egypt until God's power was demonstrated. Because God had put Pharaoh in a position so that he could show his power over all the false gods in the world. Now, Paul also used an example, it's also used in the Old Testament, about the potter and the clay. We are that lump of clay. God is the potter. He can make anything out of the clay he wants. He can make fine china, or he can make a porcelain toilet. Both are needed and useful, but some you don't set out at a dinner party, but others you do. Well, God can make us into whatever useful thing, whether the fine china or the toilet, but can be used of God for the purpose that God wants. And who are we to complain about how God made us and for what purpose he has put us here. We need to remember that we all are guilty of breaking God's law. We all deserve hell. But God desires that no one perish and that all come to repentance. In Ezekiel 18:33, he tells us that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they turn from their ways and live. And then Paul gives an illustration from the book of Hosea. God was using Hosea the prophet as a constant reminder to the people of Israel about how Israel had acted and how God acts. Hosea was married a prostitute, and I sort of wonder about anybody marrying somebody named Gomer. But his wife's name was Gomer. I like to think they're identified. Oh, loser. I don't think Gomer was in the Marines. But Gomer allowed, was used by God, to illustrate wayward Israel. And Hosea had two children. One he named Lo-Ami, which means not my people. The other he named Lo-Rahami, not loves. But God says that the one that was called not my people will be called my people. And the one that was called unloved will be called beloved. God is still holding out his hand for Israel, even though they've been rebellious. God is the one in charge. Then, what about Israel? Why did they reject? Because they thought they could earn their own salvation. They thought they could make God happy by their works, or they could make themselves in right relationship with God. But Jesus says, salvation is by faith, and it is a stumbling stone to those that try to live a righteousness based on their works. They stumbled. Israel stumbled over the stumbling stone. They thought they could earn salvation, but it is by faith. And so Paul picks up at chapter 10 how he started chapter 9. Chapter 9 says, if it was possible, I would give up my salvation so that Israel could be saved. And here in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is their salvation. That's for Israel, those that are thinking they can be saved by their works. Paul is saying, their salvation is what I desire. It's not that God has abandoned Israel. God still desires Israel to repent and turn to him. And Paul's desire in preaching to those in Rome is not to reject Israel, not to abandon Israel, but to see them saved. And then Paul talks about Israel. He said, they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. I think about around our country, there are many riots that break out with people that have a lot of zeal. But when they're interviewed, nobody knows really what they're rioting about. They just want to riot because that's what the thing to do is. Now, some have a reason they give, but they can't give examples of why they're doing it. But there are people that have the desire to do something, even if they don't know what they're doing. Israel had a zeal, but they didn't have the knowledge of the righteousness of God. And then Paul goes on to say, they don't know God's righteousness. They think they can make a righteousness of their own. Not only do they not know God's righteousness, they don't try to find what God's standard for righteousness is. And Paul's going to explain it to them. And in his letter here, he's going on to explain, this is nothing new I'm teaching. Moses taught about this. It's explained throughout the entirety of the Old Testament that salvation is by faith, not by works. But there are people that try to work their way to righteousness, to salvation. They're seeing an article on my news feed today talking about churches need to adjust to the times so they can reach the people. Well, the message of Christ and salvation by faith doesn't need to be adjusted. We need to practice what we believe and not just try to make a license of our own that will fill churches based on making people feel good. Well, not only do they not know God's righteousness, not only do they try to create a righteousness based on their own efforts, their own standards, but they won't submit to God's righteousness. When shown that their way does not meet God's way, they don't change. They won't acknowledge. And then Paul says, for Christ, in verse 4, is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. That word for end means the goal. If you will, the finish line. It's where righteousness is completed. It's not through our own efforts. It's through what Jesus has done. And then Paul goes back and says, this is nothing new. Moses talked about this. What did he say about someone trying to live by works? He says, the person... First off, since Moses writes about the righteousness of the law, the one who does these things will live by them. If you're going to earn your salvation, you have to be 100% perfect, 100% of the time, for as long as you breathe, from your first breath to your last. And we know, from our first breath to our last, we're looking out for ourselves rather than looking toward God. Moses has taught you cannot be saved by your works because you cannot keep a perfect record for all of your life. It's impossible. It's impossible to go a couple of minutes, much less an entire life. But then in verse 6, but the righteousness that comes from faith speaks like this, and he quotes. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30 here. He says, do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will go down into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. So he said, it's not by what you do. You're not the one that brings Christ here. You're not the one that goes, finds him, and brings him back from the dead. It wasn't man's effort that caused God to come from his salvation. From heaven to bring us salvation. It wasn't man's effort that suddenly resurrected Jesus from the dead. It's all about God. And the message, verse 8 says, the message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So again, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Said, it's not a hidden message. It's clear. The message is right there. All you've got to do is open up and listen for it. Look at what God has done. And then he summarizes salvation in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it's not just saying Jesus is Lord. It's acknowledging that fact. Not just verbalizing it. And what does it mean, Jesus is Lord? That word for Lord means the owner. the master, the ruler, the supreme one, the one that has authority over everything. Jesus is the supreme boss of the entire universe. Do we acknowledge that He is above us in our lives, in our attitudes, or just in our works? Paul says we must acknowledge that we're not in charge, but God is. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that today. They think they're in charge of everything. And then believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It's all about God. It's not about man's efforts. It's all about God. He is the boss. He is the supreme ruler. He is the one that is alive because of the power of God, not by our efforts. And then verse 13, Paul concludes this section. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not a matter if you have Jewish heritage or don't. Everyone is saved the same way. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. It's the same God over all the universe. You're saved the same way. It's not by our works that we earn salvation. It's by the completed work of Jesus Christ. Extend your name for a question. Lord, thank you that you did what was necessary so that we could be saved from our sinful choices, that we could be declared righteous, not by our works, but by your complete work. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to repent of our sins and turn to you. Thank you for giving us opportunity to share your truth with others. Thank you for being patient with those who are rebellious, giving them a chance to be right with you. Thank you for bringing knowledge where there was ignorance before. Thank you for your love for that.